You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, CP3. After 17 games off, Chris Paul made his successful return with 12 points and 6 assists in Sunday night's 103-98 win by the Rockets over the Magic. By the way, James Harden had 40 for the 18th time this season. Kenneth Faried had another double-double with 12 and 10. And the Rockets, now at 29 and 20, are somehow 5-2 through their first 7 games without Clint Capella. And they've won 18 of their last 21 at Toyota Center. With that, welcome to another happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we talk this Sunday night, breaking down the 103-98 win the Rockets posted over the Magic at Toyota Center in our usual 3 points recap style, we have a lot to discuss. Certainly the healthy return of Chris Paul, as mentioned, 12 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, much more efficient relative to what we've seen from him this season, 50% from the field, 40% from 3. Kenneth Faried had another double-double. The Rockets, they've won 18 of 21 at home. Their three guards, going with their three-guard lineup again, Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, for the first time since mid-December. Between the three of them, they shot 24 of 49 from the field, a type of efficiency that is much needed, with the Rockets out-rebounded by a much larger Orlando team, 56-39. We'll touch on all of those subjects as we move our way through our usual 3 points recap. But to lead off with this Sunday evening show, I know it's beating a dead horse at this point, but how ridiculous is James Harden? 40 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. What's incredible about what he did in this win over the Magic, and at face value, it's not an impressive win. The Magic are 20-30 with the loss. The Rockets are 29-30, and even without Clint Capella playing at home, they should be the better team. Now, it does get them a bit of revenge over what happened 2 weeks ago in Orlando when the Magic overcame a 7-point deficit late in the game, a game in which the Rockets led most of the way. This time, the Magic led most of the way by 16 after the end of one, which was their biggest lead. This time, it's the Rockets who were able to stubbornly hang around and then ultimately, led by Chris Paul and James Harden, finally make the big closing kick when it really mattered in the fourth quarter. But on paper, even with Clint out, look, Houston should be a better team than the Orlando Magic. I see that at face value. And yet, when you look at an Orlando team that starts three guys at 6'9" or larger on their front line against a Rockets team who has only one player larger than 6'6", and that's their 6'8" current starting center, Kenneth Faried, all of a sudden, if the Magic on top of that are going to make some threes, and at least until the fourth quarter, they largely did on Sunday night, it's the kind of game that can get hairy. And they were up 34-18 after the first quarter. You combine that with James Harden going uncharacteristically cold in the second half, made only one three, which was a big one. It was when it was tied with under 2 minutes to go. Harden hit a three to break that. But with Harden unable to hit his usual step backs from behind the arc, also only got to the foul line 9 times, making 8 of those, and a couple were in the final 10 seconds of the game in true garbage time. This was a game in which, even though on paper Houston should be the better team, circumstances intervened, especially with the Clint Capella injury. This is the kind of big, athletic team. Nikola Vucevic on the interior was just a massive anchor for the Magic. Ended up having 19-17, 5 assists. Now, the Rockets did defend him better down the stretch. Kudos to both Eric Gordon and James Harden for showing strong post-defense. Even though they're small, they're tough to move, they're tough to dislodge. And, of course, that's what makes the Rockets' switching scheme, especially now with Kenneth Faried at the 5, so effective at times. That's one of the Rockets, even though they gave up 60-plus in the first half of this game, they gave up only 16 in the fourth quarter, which is how they overcame that 8-point deficit, ended up outscoring Orlando 29-16 down the stretch to win. But to me, beyond just the fact that he led the team in scoring with 40, the reason this game was so quintessential James Harden and one of, I would say, his signature MVP moments in a different way. Now, he didn't have the shot the way he did at Oracle Arena, although Fournier might beg to differ with how James put him on skates in the last 30 seconds of the game for a mid-range step back. But what made this game so epic for James Harden, beyond just scoring 40 points for an 18th time this season, continuing to his 23rd consecutive game of 30-plus points, which is the fourth longest streak in NBA history, all the usual accolades, it's the fact that James Harden was this good, even though all of his plan A's were not really working. The three-point shot, as mentioned, he was 4 of 12. That's below his usual efficiency. Made just 1 of 8, I believe, in the second half. Didn't matter. He was 10 of 15 from inside the arc, including, as mentioned a few moments ago, the step back from about 8, 9 feet away where he put Fournier on skates and put the Rockets up 5, effectively sealing the deal with 30 seconds left. For all the talk about Harden getting too many free throws, take away the two fouls he got in the last 10 seconds of the game, the two free throws, that is, the intentional foul. Harden played basically a full game, 37 minutes. He had 7 free throws. So really, even if we take away, and he made one of those last two, so let's take that away. Harden basically had 39 points on just 4 made three-pointers and only 7 attempted free throws. So for all the narratives out there about how, well, Harden's scoring bench, while impressive, look at how many threes he's taking. Look how much he gets to the foul line. He only got to the foul line 7 times tonight when it mattered. He only put in 4 threes, and he made it happen the old-fashioned way, just by the floaters, the step-backs. If it took mid-range games, that's what he was able to do. And against an Orlando team that's much bigger than the Rockets, ultimately had the length to contest on the perimeter, and it was tough to get straight to the cup for layups all that often. So either he had to make the step-backs, or if there were layups, Harden had to push the pace a little bit more than maybe he's used to get out in transition. Well, whatever it took, he made that happen. And on top of the 40 points, the 6 assists, what really stands out, the 11 rebounds. Now, Houston was out-rebounded 56-39. You talk about the Rockets trying to be within single digits. Tonight, that didn't happen. They were minus 17 again, which seems to be a theme. But if not for James Harden grabbing 11, think about how bad it could have been. They could have been minus 20, minus 25, and at that point, I don't think any level of efficiency from your guards would have mattered to offset that level of a rebounding disadvantage. And with a Magic team that's that much bigger, when you looked at these two teams at Toyota Center, it was striking how different they looked. So in addition to James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon making their shots, I mentioned a combined 24 of 49 from the field, the fact that James Harden was able to give you 11 boards, also kudos to Eric Gordon and Chris Paul with 5 each. Also mentioned that Gordon, like Harden, stepped up as far as being a post defender, tough to dislodge in the switching scheme, even against Vucevic in the fourth quarter, when even though he had 19 and 17, not many of those came down the stretch. And then, after Harden had that mid-range shot that put Fournier on skates, that felt like end of the game, in case it didn't, he made the play at the rim, rejecting Orlando and leading eventually to a backcourt violation. They tried to save it, but they threw it behind the half-court line. Chris Paul got sent to the line on an intentional foul, made both. At that point, the Rockets were up 3 possessions with only about 20 seconds left, and that was pretty much the ballgame. So even though Orlando had a 16-point lead, even though they had a much larger team that had a lot of momentum early on, the Rockets still found a way to turn it. And I'm not going to say that this is a standout game for Houston as a whole. Now, any win without Clint Capella, somehow they're now 5-2 through the first 7. You want to bank those. It is going to get tougher. The Rockets have a tough road trip coming up. One more at home against the Pelicans. And then Denver, Utah, Phoenix, Sacramento. Other than Phoenix, all three of those teams are teams that are going to be favored, or at the very least, very capable of beating you. 500 or better teams in the West. So in the meantime, without Clint Capella to get you a lot of rebounds, a lot of easy points, you've got to steal games where you can. And ultimately, with the Rockets, James Harden, Chris Paul, that foundation where you would expect a team that's guard-heavy against a team that's big-heavy the way the Magic are, when you have a clash in styles to this extent, where you would expect the team with the star guards to really dominate is late in the game. And fortunately, led by James Harden, that's what the Rockets did. He did enough offensively, but also on the defensive end, mentioned the rebounds. He also had 3 blocks, including the clincher in the final 30 seconds. I don't think this is a game that will be on the highlight reel for James Harden or the Rockets at the end of the year, and that even though Harden had 40 and 11, he didn't have that many of the quintessential step-back 3 moments. It wasn't certainly what happened earlier this month against the Warriors, the Nuggets, or even Toronto on Friday. But when you consider the fact that the Rockets, they're still not at full strength, probably a little fatigued after what happened Friday, the big win over the Raptors, where they had to expend a lot of energy, then trying to integrate great Chris Paul after missing the last 17 games. This was a game that could have gotten away from them. They hung around. They found ways to stay in the game. And then when it mattered, James Harden made the big plays late. It wasn't pretty. It took a lot of grit. It's not one at the end of the year they're going to say, wow, this is the Rockets. This is when we're back. But ultimately, to get to a high seed in the Western Conference, you have to win games that are when you're not at your best, there for the taking in the final 5 minutes. Well, that's what an MVP needs to do. And James Harden, he's the MVP. He showed you why yet again in Sunday night's big 103-98 win over the Magic. Now, as we continue our recap this Sunday evening of the 103-98 victory the Rockets posted over the Magic, Houston improving to 29-20, Magic falling to 20-30. Houston has now won 18 of 21 at home. Somehow they've won 5 of 7 since losing Clint Capella. Shout out to Kenneth Faried, who yet again, 12 points, 10 rebounds. He may be undersized, but he's gritty, he hustles. Boy, does he get the crowd at Toyota Center really active and engaged. As mentioned, Rockets have won 18 of their last 21, and they have really responded well to Kenneth. Also, he's an underrated passer, 5 assists. He's able to switch well on defense, so he does a lot of the things. Certainly, he can finish in the lob game. He can rebound, which are things the Rockets have known about him and really the entire NBA for some time. But Faried's ability to do the little things, to switch, move his feet on the perimeter, to pass the ball, to swing it, also had a couple of steals, just all sorts of little things, the hustle plays. He's a big deal, and even though he's not going to be a subject of our 3 points recap tonight, I want to throw out a special honorary mention to him. That said, if James Harden was the subject, and clearly he was, 40-11, if he's your number one in our recap, and I think he has to be, just based on the totality of the evidence, number two, as we work our way through our three leading themes from Sunday's 103-98 win, has to be Chris Paul. I know just 12 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, but the efficiency, 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. First off, simply to see him healthy is astounding. 33 years old, he's missed the last 17 games, he went 25 minutes. Overall, the Rockets want to have him at about 30 minutes a game, but they're not going to throw him out there at that length immediately to start with. He's in the mid-20s. When you miss over a month of game time and you're coming off a very sensitive injury, being a hamstring, just seeing him go mid-20s and not having any sort of re-aggravation or fatigue issues, I thought it was great to see him running around there looking as spry and as healthy as he did. Really, I thought some of his shake-and-bake moves were as good as we've seen this season. So hopefully he's feeling better. And I've said this before, but when you look at his year, you can almost break it in two segments. Before tonight, he'd played in 26 games. And beyond the fact that he's had this recent 17-game absence with yet another hamstring injury, besides the fact he hasn't played, the other thing for the Rockets this year is that even when Chris has played, he hasn't been at his usual level of efficiency. But when you look at his season, the first 15 and the last 11, the first 15, which were October and most of November, he was pretty close to the old Chris Paul. Not all the way, but 44% from the field, 38% from three. You will live with that. The last 11 games, which was late November until the mid-December when he had the grade 2 hamstring pull, basically after he suffered a minor hamstring injury in late November, then he re-aggravated it to grade 2 status in late December, and that's what caused him to miss the last 5 weeks, just 37% from the field and below 32% from three. So his efficiency before the hamstring issues was pretty good. And for all that's been made about the fact that he's 33 years old, he got the big contract, is he washed, all the questions that naturally come with a player of that age and salary stature, I get it. But when you look at the numbers, you can make a pretty compelling case that in terms of his percentages dipping, that maybe what happened in December was a result of him not being healthy. And now, if he's healthy again, maybe you can expect the jumper to get back to where we saw it his first season in Houston, when he was in the mid-40s and upper 30s, respectively, from the field and from three-point range. And that's roughly what we saw in the first month of this season before he got into hamstring issues again. If there's more evidence that I would point to and use to make that case, it would be that the first 15 games of the year, he actually shot just 79% from the free throw line. The last 11, he improved that to 86%. Of course, for his career, he's upper 80s. He was actually in the 90s last year, the best in the NBA. And why was he able to turn around his stroke at the free throw line at the same time as every other bit of his shooting overall and from three declined? Well, from the free throw line, that's the one spot on the floor where you least use your legs to generate power or to stop and create separation. So when you really look at the evidence with Chris, you can make a case that his leg could have been bothering him in December to the point where that's the reason, not age, not anything else. Now, yes, if you want to argue that, you know, his age makes him more injury prone, you can. But you can make a case that his lower percentages were not necessarily a reflection of the fact that his game has started to decline, but that he was playing hurt. And that if he is healthy, and yes, the Rockets need to make sure that they keep him on a minutes limitation. I wouldn't play on a back-to-backs, at least for the time being. All of those things are true. But if he's healthy, he shot 50% from the field tonight and 40% from three. He was 44% overall, 38% from three in basically the first month of the season. We know what he did a year ago. You might have to be very rigid in terms of how you use him, but you can make a case that that elite version of Chris Paul, it's still in him. You just have to manage him closely if you're Mike D'Antoni and let him be able to pick his spots. And as far as Sunday's game in particular, besides the fact that 12 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, I thought he was a pest defensively, also helped shore up the Rockets' defensive rotations. As mentioned, Houston held Orlando to just 16 points in the fourth quarter, and the 98 they scored for the game, it's just the second time in the past month that they've held an opponent below 100 points, and coincidentally, until tonight, none of them had been with Chris Paul. So I thought defensively he helped stabilize them. But as far as offensively, I don't know that he set the world on fire. Certainly he didn't re-aggravate the issue. I thought generally he moved well. You're not going to expect him, a guy who's had a 17-game layoff, to all of a sudden start having immediate quick twitch movements, trying to break down everyone off the dribble immediately. But I thought he moved as freely as I've seen him this season. So I thought it was as encouraging as it could be. But what I really liked the most with Chris Paul was that the buckets he did make, beyond just the fact that he had the 6 assists, the 3 steals, he's a high IQ player, he can run the pick and roll with Kenneth Faried, he can disrupt the passing lanes, he can do that till he's 50. As far as Chris as a scorer, what I really liked, beyond just the fact that he was 50% overall, 40% from 3, was the shots he made came at very key inflection moments, is what I would call them. Of the 12 points, only 2 came in the first half. The buckets he made in the second half, one was at the very end of the third quarter, cut it to single digits from 10 to 8, a mid-range shot. Then he had 2 threes early in the fourth period, which cut it from a game in which the second half, it largely teetered between 8 and 13. It felt like that brought the Rockets back within 5 and made it to where, when James Harden checked back in, it was a game the Rockets were truly in rather than just hoping to hang around. Those 2 big threes back-to-back early in the fourth quarter, and then made both free throws in the final minute to push it from 5 to 7 and put the game away. The Rockets have not always been steady in recent games at closing out games at the free throw line. Chris Paul, with a 5-point lead in the final 30 seconds, did exactly what you would want him to do. First, he inbounded the ball, which has been a separate issue for the Rockets with some of their guys, most notably Eric Gordon, the last few games. He ran a nice inbounds play and then got the ball back, made both free throws, and that was the game. So 12, 6, 5, 3, it's nothing when you look at Chris Paul's stat line that will make you say, wow, this is a guy that's worth the $40 million a year contract, but it's sort of silly to expect that coming off the 17-game layoff. What you want is efficiency, which he had, and glimpses. And with Chris Paul, especially in the regular season, what you want are those moments of hashtag playoff CP3. He's not going to do it over the balance of 30 minutes, especially playing alongside James Harden. It's James's job to do the heavy lifting. That's why he is the MVP. What you want from Chris Paul are glimpses at key inflection points that he's still capable of taking over a game. And what I like tonight, what he did defensively as far as making steals, even in transition at key moments, the fact that he had 10 in the final 12 plus minutes of the game, the big shot at the end of the third quarter, 2 big threes early in the fourth, then making the 2 free throws in the final few seconds of the game to close it out. It wasn't a game in which you say, wow, this is why we paid Chris Paul this 4-year, basically $160 million contract at $40 million per season. I understand that, but expecting him to somehow give you a 30-10 game coming off the shelf after a 17-game hamstring absence, that's not realistic. What you want him to be is more efficient, which he was, 50% from the field, 40% from 3, and beyond just being efficient, starting to build chemistry back with his teammates, getting his conditioning up, besides all those obvious things, you want to see that at key moments of the game, that even at 33 years old, year 14, that Chris Paul can still take over. And as mentioned off the top, even though Orlando is a bigger team, that's why they won the rebounding battle 56-39, Houston is a smarter team. They're quicker. And where a team that's comprised the way the Rockets are right now, their strengths with the backcourt, should be able to take advantage of a bigger team like Orlando. It's when the game is on the line in the fourth quarter, in the half court. And James Harden did a lot of the heavy lifting, but for the first time in a while, he had help beyond just Eric Gordon. That second guy, or third, I guess we should say, as far as the three-headed monster in the backcourt, was Chris Paul. He had a healthy return, 12-6-5. Rockets got the 103-98 win because James had 40 points. It was supplemented by 16 from Eric Gordon on an efficient 6-14 from the field, and also an efficient 12 points from CP3 on 4-8 from the field and 2-5 from 3. So on top of James Harden's usual 40, Chris Paul finally made it back. And because of that, even with a minus 17 rebounding differential against a much, much larger Orlando team, the Rockets get the win. And now all of a sudden, they're somehow 5-2 in their first seven games without Clint Capella, and they've improved to 29-20 on this 2018-2019 season. Now, as we finish up Sunday's episode, our recap of the 103-98 win the Rockets posted over the Magic at Toyota Center on Monday evening. So in the first two segments, discussing yet another 40-point outburst from James Harden, also had 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, a steal. What can't he do? He's the MVP. It's not just that he's scoring, and, well, as a scorer, even when he did make threes, just one in the second half, well, he made the mid-range shots, 10 of 15. He rebounded the ball. He got blocks, including one that clinched the game in the final 30 seconds. He's the MVP. We've been singing his praises for quite some time. And, of course, Chris Paul, even though 12 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, solid perimeter defense, 25 healthy minutes, even though it's not a stat line that lights the world on fire, at the same time, considering what you're paying him and the fact that your team is built around having him as the Robin to James Harden's Batman, it's a very encouraging sign to see him out there, and especially when he's making shots and assists when it matters down the stretch in the fourth quarter. As far as our third storyline tonight, what jumps out to me most is not an individual. Now, Kenneth Faried, as mentioned, I give him honorable mention status, 12-10, 5 assists, he hustled, even though Nikola Vucevic, 19 points, 17 rebounds. The Rockets, when it mattered in the fourth quarter, they limited Orlando to just 16 points with Faried playing a ton of minutes at the 5. It's kind of astounding. In less than a minute with a week with the team, he's playing 36 minutes a night. That's phenomenal what Faried has given you. Even though he's undersized, he's playing his heart out. Yet another good find for the Rockets and Daryl Morey off the waiver wire, just like Austin Rivers was in December. Those signings, and certainly Daniel House in the month or so that he was with the team, and hopefully he'll be back, they've turned around a season that, you know, you go back through the first 6 weeks, we were all complaining about depth. Well, now all of a sudden that the likes of Chris Paul are coming back and hopefully Clint Capella on the other side of the All-Star break, you could see the Rockets having a 9 or even 10-man rotation, dare I say, in the weeks ahead. So kudos to him. But beyond just the names, the third thing that really stands out at me as I look at this box score for the Rockets tonight is the importance of efficiency. Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon combined, those guys, 24 of 49. That's almost 50% from three players who are 6'5" or smaller. And I mentioned earlier that James Harden had an uncharacteristic off game for him, especially in the second half, just 4 of 12 overall from 3. Chris Paul, 2 of 5, that's 40%. Eric Gordon, 4 of 8, that's 50%. That's phenomenal efficiency. So if you're undersized, which the Rockets are, even with Kenneth Faried battling his butt off, especially in the Rockets scheme where they switch a lot and he's going to be away from the bucket, there's only so much he can do. PJ Tucker, just 2 rebounds in 39 minutes. The Rockets just aren't big enough, especially against a team of that size. So the way you can overcome a minus 17 rebounding differential on top of just the usual James Harden go crazy, because that's a little simplistic, it's to be efficient. And if you have three guards that are giving you basically 50% from the field, and in the case of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, 6 of 13, that's better than 45% from three-point range, that's the kind of efficiency that can offset a lack of size. The other thing that stood out to me about this game, as mentioned, it's the Rockets' 18th win in their last 21 home games. Even when they got that early deficit, there was no panic. After all, the Rockets games the past couple of weeks, we've seen some wild swings both directions. The Nets game, the Lakers, the Knicks, Toronto, which they went up big, and then Toronto went on a run in the middle of that, in which they got it down within 5. All of a sudden, Houston pushes it back up, and they have to hold on for dear life. Really, the Rockets, without Clint Capella, there's going to be a lot of variance. The crowd at Toyota Center seems to recognize that, so you never get too high or too low. That's especially important if you're on the losing end of the scoreboard to keep pushing them forward. But really, what this game felt like for the Rockets was banking one. Because without Clint Capela, it's not going to be easy. And as mentioned a little while ago, they're about to start off on a four-game road trip. You've got one more Tuesday at home against the Pelicans. We'll see if they have Anthony Davis. But regardless, Pelicans are below 500 team. These are the types of games you need to bank, because at Denver, at Utah, that's a back-to-back. And then at Phoenix, hopefully that's one you can win. At Sacramento against a very young and quality Sacramento Kings team. These aren't going to be easy. And if you're consistently getting out-rebounded every night, what you have to hope for is, number one, you take care of business at home, which is what they've been doing. And it's not always going to be easy, especially when you're on the short end of the rebounding stick, the way the Rockets have been too often of late. But overall, again, that's to be expected without Clint Capela. And as I said, the day that he went out for this absence, expected to be 15 games, at least until the other side of the All-Star break. What you're trying to do is be at least 500 or so in that stretch, which can't be exactly 500 over 15 games, but, you know, win 7 or 8, and at some point, if you do better than that, you can get greedy. Well, somehow, at this point, you are 5-2 through 7 games. That's a heck of a start. The schedule is going to be more difficult. The Rockets have not been the same team on the road, although hopefully that'll start to pick up now that you have not just James Harden, but another all-star caliber player in Chris Paul to do some of the heavy lifting on the road. Perhaps those games in Denver, in Utah, in Sacramento, that's where the wily veteran expertise of a Chris Paul can pay off. We'll have to wait and see on this upcoming road trip. But for now, I think there's a couple of things you're looking for. First off, you need to take care of business at home. That's why this win is so big, because even if things do get a little bit hairy in the days ahead, you're banking wins so that hopefully this 15-game stretch, you can keep your head above water and then be in a position to truly make your run on the other side of the All-Star break. Rockets right now are tied in the loss column with the Trailblazers for the 4 spot, although the Rockets in the 5, because Portland's played a couple more games. They're 2 games up in the loss column on the Spurs, the Jazz, and the Clippers, who round out the Western Conference playoff picture at 6-8, as always, very jam-packed. But certainly in this stretch without Clint Capela, when you're out-rebounded this much, it is going to get more difficult. That's why protecting your home court, stealing these games, especially against teams that you should be better than, that's important. You can't let games slip away. Same thing was true last Wednesday in New York. It doesn't matter if it's ugly. You just got to get wins right now. You can worry about being at peak efficiency and blowing teams out once you get Clint Capela back, and maybe after Chris Paul isn't in just his first game after a 17-game absence. Aside from winning at home, as mentioned earlier, it's about the efficiency. You need your guards to make up for in terms of their playmaking, their shot making, hopefully from three, to offset whatever you're giving up in terms of the rebounding battle, points at the rim, where the Rockets should have an advantage now that they have a four-guard rotation of Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, James Harden, and Austin Rivers, is that they just have more shooters, they have more playmakers. The first three, the big three that is, the starters, they did their job. Now they need Austin Rivers to get going. His last 5 games, he's just 2 of 24 from 3. Sunday night, he was 0 of 4 behind the arc, was 2 of 3 inside the arc, had 4 points, and was actually a plus 8 in his 21 minutes. Thought his defense was pretty sound, at least on ball. He has been getting beaten a little bit more in terms of off ball, backdoor cuts, that type of thing. But generally speaking, the issue for Austin Rivers, he just needs to make more threes. Right now, he's in a funk. Maybe it's related to the fingers on his shooting hand, which we've seen him shaking a decent bit this month, really going back to the Denver and Milwaukee games when he seemed to jam one. It could be that. It could be just he's in a little bit of a funk right now. I don't know what it is. But ultimately, that's the one nitpick, besides the fact the Rockets need to be bigger, and I don't know how that's going to get fixed until you get Clint Capela back. Besides that, I thought the Rockets battled pretty hard. I thought especially as the game moved along, they played better defense. You just need, generally speaking right now, the Rockets to offset their issues with physicality with superior efficiency, and they largely did. Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon. The amazing thing tonight is that they did it even though Austin Rivers couldn't throw it in the ocean. So maybe if you can get Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, James Harden still doing their thing, maybe James Harden a bit back to what he's been doing the past month or so from three, and then you get Austin Rivers the way he was before this last 3 or 4 game stretch. Just imagine how dominant Rivers was that first game the Rockets played the Magic. He was the only reason the Rockets had the lead in the first place that game 2 weeks ago. That's the one that the Rockets blew the 7-point lead in the last 5 minutes. Rivers had a season high with 25 points, 10 of 14 from the field, 4 of 7 from three. So to me, the themes that you want to look at, better efficiency and protecting the home court. That's what, without Clint Capela, you're going to need to do collectively. And I thought the Rockets did a pretty good job of that tonight. Austin Rivers could help the efficiency a little bit more, but generally speaking, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, James Harden, you're not going to complain at all what you got from those, and as far as your four guards, those are your three biggest ones, so salute to them. And then protecting the home court, 18 of 21. You've got another one Tuesday against the Pelicans, who can be dangerous. We'll see if Anthony Davis is out there. But even if he isn't, they've got Jahlil Okafor, and I think the odds are it's going to be a pretty similar formula. The Rockets are probably going to be a little smaller. They're going to be out-rebounded. The question is, can they offset the rebounding disadvantage with superior shot-making and playmaking from their guards? You've got two Hall of Famers in James Harden and Chris Paul. Hopefully Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers are making their shots from three. And then beyond that, can the Rockets continue to protect their home court? And if they can, that would be massive to get six wins in their first eight without Clint Capella. And even though they have a tough road trip coming up, the more wins you can bank before you potentially come on hard times, the better you are. And who knows, at some point, if you build enough momentum, if you build the right habits and get enough wins, at some point, maybe you are better than what you appear to be on paper. And then even if there are certain mismatches against certainly the Nuggets with Jokic, the Rockets don't have their usual Capella counter to him this time. The Jazz with Rudy Gobert, they're playing phenomenal ball these days. It's not going to be easy for the Rockets coming up, but bank the wins at home while you can, get your guards in rhythm, and hope for the best. Worst case, you should build yourself some insulation to where even if you lose a couple, you're still in a good spot in the Western Conference standings by the time you get to the All-Star break and Clint Capella comes back. Best case, you build some momentum and you carry that on the road, and who knows, you're somehow even in better position than you would have expected, especially after losing Clint Capella 7 games ago. Somehow the Rockets now having won 5 of their first in this stretch, expected to be 15 games without him, currently at the 7-game mark, almost halfway. So on that positive note, that's where we'll break it on this Sunday evening. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next episode, which will probably be a recap of Tuesday evening's Rockets-Pelicans game, again at home, the finale of this 3-game homestand at Toyota Center, best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, Locked On NBA Net is the Twitter and Instagram handle for our curated feed at the Locked On Podcast Network. Our NBA hosts, experts like myself, but across all other cities. So if you want to see what they're saying about their teams, or if you want to see what they're saying about the Rockets when their team is slated to play Houston, as New Orleans is on Tuesday, I strongly encourage you to check out that Locked On NBA Net feed on Twitter and Instagram. Also, if you have not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can probably find us because we're part of a great network of shows at the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes right when they come out. And we get the benefit of, with your subscription and your 5-star review, looking attractive to potential advertisers and making the business model work as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And if you'd be kind enough, beyond just simply helping our advertising figures by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, if you'd be so interested as to benefit your own business potentially, please email me, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, where I can give you some information, some great introductory specials about how to become an advertiser and reach our booming audience of Rockets fans. Beyond that, you can also contact me, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, questions, suggestions for the show, pretty much anything we can do to help this experience for you, the Rockets fan, you the businessman, whatever it may be. Just reach out to me, Ben Dubose, at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Final plug I'm going to throw out there. If you got a smart speaker for Christmas, or if you work with voice assistant providers, you can find the most recent episodes there as well. So just say, play podcast Locked On Rockets. And even if you're not at your normal subscription place, well, you can still find our most recent episode that way as well, through your smart speaker or through your voice assistant providers. So if you're working out, if you're driving, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets, and you can find our most recent episode there as well. One final time, the happy final from Toyota Center this Sunday evening. Rockets 103, Nuggets 98. Houston improves to 29-20 on the season. It's their 5th win in 7 games without Clint Capella, and it's their 18th in 21 somehow at Toyota Center in Houston. With that, have a great start to your week, and come back soon for more episodes and recaps right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.